Tywin, you covetous bitch. Like, for the record, Jamie's gonna say it later, but I'm gonna say it now. Tywin has been hot for years about not having a Valyrian steel sword in his family. He has tried to pay off other lords for their family swords because he wanted one so fucking bad. And I mean, patience is a virtue. It works.
It does. You know, do you think about it though? And I don't really, I'm not gonna spoil anything here, but there's a certain family that has one, and it's like, how do they have one, but the Lannisters don't?
They're a badass family. They're rich, number one.
Are we, I don't know if we're talking about the same family. We might be.
We are definitely talking about the same family, and like that is a formidable family. I could tell you a couple book things about that family. Yeah. And we'll get there.
Yeah, eventually.
But this scene hurts as much as it always does. This scene always makes me very, very incredibly sad.
I think this was the best scene in the entire episode.
Oh,
What do you think? Yeah, what do you think? What do you think it symbolizes?
what's the end and a new beginning.
Yeah, that's what I put. Symbolizes the end of the Starks, really.
But the what really symbolized the end of it was with him putting that wolf pelt sheath on the fire. And let me, I never noticed that that was kept in a wood pelt, a wolf pelt sheath before. And
It wasn't.
I really liked it.
It wasn't kept in a wolf pelt sheath.
Okay.
That is the sword that Elen Payne used to cut Ned's head off, his own sword. And that's
Right,
the
I knew
sword.
that.
Yeah, Elen Payne's been carrying that sword around. He's
Okay.
been using that. So like when they were during the siege or whatever, like that's the sword that he had during the siege. And so then Tywin took it and had it done. But like he put it into Grey Wind when Grey Wind got there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It wasn't a really cool sheath, I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, sheath. I mean, like, it was a sheath in this episode, but like
Mean going like in the past,
in the past it
it
wasn't.
was never, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like a big thing. Like it just it tears me up to see like the years, like the centuries of history in this sword, like for this family. Oh, I hate
But
like
if there's no family, what do they need a sword for?
you're right. All that's left is the one girl, as far as everybody knows.
As far as everybody knows, just she ain't even starting more. She's Lannister at this point, so.
Here we are. But that last shot of Tywin looking in the fire, like my favorite villain.
And the music that they were playing too for the scene.
Yeah, the Reigns
Really
of
good.
Castamere.
Really.
I
Yeah, but
loved it.
it
Like
was
slow
more,
down.
yeah, and villainous. Like
Yep.
you could be really feel the villainous in it.
Yep.
It's the
I
string.
like how we like, we talked about it last season, it being like a theme, and then it kind of like closes out in this episode because we hear it here and then we hear it later, a little later episode, and kind of like just kind of closes out.
So when you see the, all right, we'll get to it in the next one, but like, it's just really good. Tywin is formidable. And like, that's what you need to know about Tywin Lannister this season, is that Tywin is formidable. So just keep that in mind. And he's, not above tricks and plots.
Not at all.
Thank you. Welcome back to Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lovegood, Luna's favorite cousin. 100% of my children would agree that I'm softer than Charmin. Now I'm joined by my co-hosts, Gingy, my love, and TJ, who has to stand on his tippy toes to reach the top of the refrigerator.
That's some bullshit. if I do, so does James. So, like, don't call one of us.
That's what I was gonna say. I do too, TJ. Don't feel bad.
No, I'm not claiming that I do. I'm just saying if I do, you do as well. Like, I ain't never said I did.
But Gingy just said that he did. So if he does, then you do. And here we
are. I'm taller.
Well, anyway, this week, me and these two short kings are discussing Game of Thrones season 4, episode 1, Two Swords, an air date of April 6, 2014, written by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, directed by D.B. Weiss, so his directorial debut, and then a rating of 6.64 million. Like, we are in the big boy numbers now.
I was going to guess the sixes.
Yeah. We've made it. Like, a lot of people said, listen, I'm going to stick around for one more episode, okay? But 30 is my limit. And they were impressed.
I feel like this is when the budget goes up too for HBO, like in Game of Thrones. Like, the Game of Thrones budget's like skyrocketing here.
Yeah, for sure. Those dragons are pretty big now.
Oh, can't wait to talk about that.
All right. Well, before we get into it, though, we do have our put it on the board segment.
You can put it on the board. Yes.
The Dread Fort is on the board. And Meereen is also on the board. And Meereen is near Yunkai. So why did we go a different way to get there?
Good question.
Like, it's really, it really stressed me out, actually. I looked it up to see if anybody else had any questions about it. Like, nobody had said anything on Reddit. Like, it's a little stressful to me. Just because, like, we could have just gone over the Shivering Sea, but okay. Well,
I got questions about that when we get to that, when we get to Daenerys later.
Okay. I got a lot of fucking questions about some of the stuff in this episode that just don't make sense. And it's a theme in the series called time. Time doesn't make sense, but we'll get there.
I have some answers about time in this episode.
Okay, cool.
All right. So, Jamie's new sword hand. All right, Ginge, who do you think the other sword is for?
I don't know. I actually wrote that down as, so if Jamie gets one sword, who gets the other? And then also, did Jamie get the longer sword or did he get the shorter sword?
We'll find out. It's going to be answered for you.
I love that. I love that you have questions about that.
I was going to bring up the sword lengths, but I'm just going to leave it at that. Because I was going to say, why is there adult size sword and like the kitty size?
Well, I was thinking the smaller one would be either for like Joffrey or for Tyrion, but Tywin doesn't really like either one of them, so like why would he give them that sword?
Is it Cersei's?
I'm not even sure he likes Cersei anymore.
It's like the men's basketball and the women's basketball. It's like, here you go, Cersei, get the women's ball.
Oh, but there is a second sword. These are the first swords formed since the Doom of Valyria, which is what brought the Targaryens to Westeros in the first place. This is a big fucking deal. And
only three people are left that can do it.
That can eat. And of course he got the best of them. Of course.
And you know, like the amount of pride that he has to be able to say, like, I made these swords and I'm the first person to make one of these swords since the Doom of Valyria, like,
yeah,
it's a really, Ginge, I don't know if you would care about this, but in the book he tries to fold color into it, and so it ends up turning the blades dark. They're like, so that's like black and red in the blade. It's like marbleized. Yeah. I thought that you might enjoy that little tidbit.
Yeah, they should have done it in the show. That'd have been pretty.
Yeah. But yeah, Tywin also takes this opportunity to remind Jamie that he'll never be as good. And like, I see you trying to motivate your son. I get it.
Is that we're calling that motivation?
Yeah. Some people are like, oh, you think I can't do something? Watch
me. It's called negative reinforcement.
There it is. And it works. Not in my house, but it works for other people.
It didn't work here.
It didn't work on me either. Don't worry. But
it didn't work. It didn't work here. Like Jamie's not for what Tywin's selling. Tywin's a bad salesman. That's we have learned that. Like he can't sell for shit. I'm glad he is a better fighter than he is at selling shit.
Or he
ain't selling me no car.
Ginge. Did you expect Jamie to keep serving in the King's Guard with one hand?
Honestly, I didn't really even think that he wouldn't have done it anyway. Wouldn't have served. So I am surprised, though, that he's the only one of the kids that got away with doing their own thing and not being told that they're going to do something. Because, you know, Cersei said, I'm not marrying Loras, and he said, yes, you are. Tyrion said, I'm not marrying Sansa. He said, yes, you are. And that was the end of it. Jaime's like, I'm not going back to Castle of the Rock. I'm staying in the Kingsguard. And Tywin's just like, well, okay.
Yeah, I think Jaime is the only one that has, like, precedence. Like, on his side, but he has a reason to say no. Yeah. He is bound to an oath, so the rest of them, they just like they really ain't got no say. Jamie at least has like a leg to stand on here. He has a hand to stand on, right?
But yeah, like Ginge, like you said, Tywin also asks him what he wants. Like, he certainly never asked the other two that.
Yeah.
Like, he gives him an opportunity to say, this is what I want. He's gonna, like, obviously he's not leaving. It's great here in King's Landing. I got my bottom bitch. I got my side bitch. Like, but he's not gonna break his vows. That's the to whom though? To whom? To the king or to his beloved?
Something to think about.
But you know, 40-year-old knight with one hand. We'll see how that goes.
It'll go wonderful.
Of course it will.
Makes it more of a contest.
Let me ask you this: Do we believe his confidence throughout the series or throughout this episode? Like he's very confident in his abilities. Every time somebody brings it up that he has one hand and it's his offhand now.
No, it's a defense mechanism. He don't think that he's gonna be as good either.
Tywin's baby boy has been sent to welcome the Dornish to King's Landing.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case some shit goes awry. We're sending you.
Not Tywin sent him out into the line of fire where he could be killed. Can you imagine?
I mean, he's been there before and survived. He can do it again.
Well, do you think Tywin knew who was coming? Like that it was going to be Oberyn and not Dorne?
I don't think so.
Because I was thinking maybe that's why he sent Tyrion, because it's over.
No, I don't think so. Because, like, Tyrion was surprised to find him and not Dorne.
Well, yeah.
I feel like he would have said, it's over. Because the
what a way they talk up Oberyn and like in this scene, like they talk about how like they sent the warrior, not the prince. Like the one that's pissed off is now here.
Oh, well, okay. I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
But still, no. I don't think he did. But you go to Littlefinger's brothel and Ginge. First impressions.
My boy Pedro.
It's weird. Like, this is the first time I've watched season four since watching The Last of Us.
Yeah.
God, he's so young.
Yeah.
God, he's so young.
Yeah, he is. It's also weird seeing him in that type of role there with the whores. Because
yeah.
usually his other roles are like nowhere near like that.
And being bisexual.
Yeah, like.
There's a lot of like subtle things that he does, like where it makes you realize like how good of a actor he is.
Yeah.
Like when he walks into the scene, and are they Lannisters? Like he says, I guess they're just Lannister men.
Far down the family tree, Lannisters.
Yeah, like these are like
to the family.
Fifth. This is like fifth cousin Lannisters. Like these are the mixed Lannisters.
I think he
they
was
ain't the
just.
blunts.
I think he was just saying like they're part of the Lannister like
yeah
army.
From when he like walks towards them and like he's walking by the little candle in the flame and he like puts his hand over it, like that was like a cool touch.
I just wrote the flame a psycho because it's like it's just like the music cue with him, it's very like snake like it's like it's just really I really like the way they did his music cue, especially since music means a lot in this
yeah
show. Like you're meant to figure out in this moment, like before he puts the dagger in the guy's wrist, like how dangerous this guy is, like what we're dealing with. Like it really, because I didn't know shit about Oberyn. So like, the first time I saw him, I was like, oh, an absolute psycho. I love him.
And you really don't. And they, the way they like balance him out in this first scene, we meet him too. Cause like the first time we meet him, like he's happy. He's fucking bitches and fucking dudes. And the next thing you know, he's putting a fucking dagger in somebody's wrist.
Speaking of fucking dudes, the blonde dude that was in charge of the brothel, was that the same guy that Littlefinger used to get information out of Loras?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the same guy. Because, like, they're in Littlefinger's brothel. He's,
yeah.
As you know, Littlefinger is en route to get married.
Yeah.
So, he's running the show. But Tyrion interrupts. What an opportune time for Tyrion to arrive.
Right on time.
It's the Alaria, meet Uncle Imp. Bronn was super fun. Bronn
they're like one of the same.
So fun in this scene, and I feel like we're gonna hear a lot of it in the quote section.
I got no Bronn.
You don't have any Bronn? You don't have any Bronn? And I didn't even bother because I was like, Ginge will get
nah, these. I took one from the previous scene of his, though. When
well,
they were still out in the woods. But I didn't take one in this one. I thought about it, but I didn't.
Okay. But anyway, second son to second son, the family insult. What an interesting conversation these two had. Like, we've gotten like another side of the story of what happened to Rhaegar's wife and child. Like we kind of get a face to this family now, so it means more for sure.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that what Rhaegar did has been referred to as like leaving his wife for another woman. Like this is a completely different side, because everything else we've heard is that he took Lyanna. Like, he took Lyanna, and that's what the Starks were mad about. But, like, there's a whole other side to this where there's, like, a wife and children that he abandoned to do whatever it was he did. And, like, there are people who want justice for their family members. Like, you don't hold on to something like that, like what the Mountain is accused of doing. And Oberyn's a little bit on edge. So, Ginge, what do you think my boy's plan is? Because he seems like he's got an axe to grind.
Yeah. Let's just say that this wedding about to be really interesting. A little more interesting than the last wedding.
Now, like, do we think he's going to do something at the wedding? Like, do you think it's going to be the wedding that he does it?
I mean,
and I think it's important to note too that Marcella's still in Dorne. So, like, there's an added layer to that. Like, how much can you do when you have like that layer of it?
No,
so who
but like
well I was about to say who has the leverage?
Oberyn. How does Oberyn not have the leverage? He's got the princess.
Oh, no, I know that. I'm just like putting the question out there, like, who has the leverage? That's what I'm saying.
I mean, what's he's back for blood. Like, he's gonna get his blood.
Welcome to Marine Dragon Food Fight.
Where the dragons are a lot bigger. A lot bigger.
Is this your question about time? Where dragons grow a lot bigger, but like, how fast is this?
Yeah, because like everybody else we see, it's like shit just happened. Like, the dragons are way bigger, and then Sansa's still mourning. Like,
well,
everybody just died yesterday.
Well, Jaime did say it's been a few weeks.
A few weeks.
It's been a few. He said, because he told, hell, he tells, I mean, we'll get to it, but he tells Cersei, I've been back for weeks.
Well, so, yeah, there. But that's what I'm saying. Like, everything in this episode of Tom's just seems so weird. Because he says that, but Sansa's still crying like it was yesterday. Jon's still mourning like it was yesterday.
Jon just found out. Sansa is still crying because, like, her whole family died. What the fuck is she?
Yes, has she not eaten for weeks?
Yes, that have you? You don't have mental health issues. I get it. That's fine. I understand. You don't have mental health issues, so you don't get it. It doesn't make sense to you.
Yeah, they.
There it is. That's why.
Maybe. I'm just saying.
Yeah, dude, sometimes you forget, but sometimes it's just depression. No, I don't want to eat. Anyway.
Even then, that's a lot growing in weeks.
Anyways, you know who does want to eat is these dragons. You know why they've grown? It's because they're eating goats. Where are these goats coming from? They're just like finding goats out here on this road. And this
you also got to remember that dragons somewhere. Are magical creatures. So they don't grow like the same
But look, in every other lore, they're magical creatures. Like, we don't know. They're like dogs
someone,
in this world.
No, someone said it in a couple episodes ago. I think Jorah said it, that they were magical.
Yeah, Jorah did say that. But also...
But like, lore-wise, I guess, they're like dogs to the Targaryens. Like, we see it in House of the Dragon.
They're not like dogs.
They treat them like dogs, but they're still magical creatures.
And that is the issue, that they're treating them like dogs.
Right.
That's the problem.
That's the issue.
Okay.
I love that you're on board. Anyway, it's time for these dogs to eat. And I have a story about my husband and how, like, one time when he was a kid, his dog was eating and he reached down to pet it and he got his hand bit. Because you don't pet an animal while it's eating.
That's what I wrote in my notes. I was like, did anybody teach her you do not pet an animal while it's eating?
As somebody who owns a Rottweiler, ooh, don't even get near the dog while it's eating.
Yeah.
Yes, girl, and these are dragons. And
don't
she...
let your other dog near the dog while it's eating.
And I like that you said Rottweiler, because is that not what Drogon is? Is Drogon,
Drogon
not...
is definitely, that's Debo. But yeah, I wrote down that Drogon is indeed the alpha here, though.
Yeah. And speaking of alphas, who's going to drop their weapon first? New Dario, him and Grey Worm having fun gambling over who gets to sit next to Danny.
Mm. Yo, I just think about, like, how long were they doing this?
Well, since midnight.
Yeah, and the sun is
dark. Look, Dario was hurting afterwards. Grey Worm was fine. Grey Worm was gonna win. After they dropped, Dario was like, ah. And Grey Worm was like, yeah, I'm good.
I'm mad they changed the actor, but I like the new actor too.
I feel like the new actor fits like who Dario is better.
Yeah. Cause like as we see later, like Dario's a little bit of like a head ass Casanova.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he really fits this role.
Yeah.
But then there's that look between, we get our first look between Grey Worm and Missandei and Heart Hands. I'm sorry, I'm gonna call out for sure. For sure. Well, as you pointed out, TJ, my girl is refusing lemon cakes. Lemon cakes. If I'm refusing to eat something lemon, especially a cake, something is horribly wrong.
Now look, I won't gonna give her I won't gonna blame her about the pigeon pie. Like, what the fuck is a pigeon pie? Like, somebody say you was a pigeon pie, like, no, I'm good. I will not eat for weeks if that's what I got.
That sounds like a delicacy in New York City.
Yeah, something. It could be.
It could be just like a, you know, like a chicken pot pie, but instead of using chicken, they use a pigeon.
Now back to the timelines a little bit though. This is where I did write down, like, is it possible that we're just seeing two different timelines in the series? Like, is Daenerys just a little ahead of everybody else in terms of timeline at this point?
I mean,
that could be.
Anything is possible, but like the Joffrey and Margaery's wedding, we're heading toward the wedding. So once we get to the wedding, that will be definitively the first day of the new century. That will be the first day of whatever their calendar year is. That's day one of year 300.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitively tell you we are 2 weeks away from that. Show wise, they're a fortnight away from the first of the year.
In King's Landing.
Well, yeah, in King's Landing, because
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
as far as dates and go, yeah.
But she's always seemed ahead.
Daenerys has always seemed ahead.
Yes.
No, because the comment was over all of them. That's where you like the comment, the red comment at the beginning of season two. Everybody saw it.
Yeah, that's true.
So. Yeah.
And it would be weird if they did a time jump with one storyline and not the rest.
It would be. That's why it's always weird to me.
Yeah. We just don't know how time works. I guess, like, the only reason I knew that a lot of time had passed is because they said midnight and I knew the sun was very high. But how many hours are in the day? Or are the writers getting sloppy? Who fucking knows, man? Anyways, Sansa's not eating. Shay's desperately trying to get her to eat because Shay is a girl's girl and she loves this girl. She looks a little perturbed at the hand holding, but you just turned around too soon. That's all.
True.
And also, please do not proceed ever to tell me what my dead parent would want me to do. I will cuss you. Promise you that.
As you should.
And turns out Sansa's completely lost faith in everything. She doesn't even go to the Godswood to pray. Just leave me the fuck alone, please. And I get it, baby girl. I understand you.
This is like going to an Airbnb for your birthday. Just to get away from the kids. Same thing.
Yeah. That is, let me tell. Yep.
Drew that parallel. Like that?
Oh, man. Because I can't wait. You know what I'm going to do when I get there after work on Saturday? Nothing. Nobody's going to call my name. I'm not going to have to break up any fights. I don't have to cook nobody nothing. Oh,
Yo, just sleep.
I might know. I think I'm going to end up finishing all these craft projects I have for Christmas presents, but it doesn't matter. I'll be doing it in silence. That's what's important. Thank you for telling everybody about my birthday present.
You brought it up. I just said a random term that nobody knew what we talked about before the episode.
Anyway, speaking of beds, somebody's in Tyrion's. And Sansa's, that's a little disrespectful, but whatever. Whatever, girl.
A girl's girl.
Listen, I support women's rights and women's wrongs. Period. But she reminds him they've come to a dangerous place, but she doesn't care. Like, I need it now. ASAP. Por favor.
But then when you don't get it, what do? You bring up diamonds.
Tyrion is having a rough day with foreigners today, man.
Yo, he can't catch a break. He always has the worst. He can never catch a break.
Oh. But we do find out that just the payoff was Varys. It was Varys. But do you want me to stay, though? But do you want me to stay? You said you didn't ask me to leave, but do you want me to stay?
Crickets.
He didn't respond.
Crickets.
Silence is an answer. That's what I've
Thank you, ladies. No answer is the answer.
No, not all the time.
Yes.
That's what I've been told.
All the time. No answer is the answer. I'm saving.
Ladies, don't believe that. Sometimes I don't give an answer, and it ain't nothing. It ain't no malice behind it. I just, you know what? You just asked a dumbass question. I ain't got an answer for you. So sometimes just an answer is a good. No answer is a good thing. Because I could just tell you that was a dumbass question, but I just won't say anything. There you go, ladies.
Well, you might say something. Sansa's maid, who spotted them, like Gossip Girl.
Yo. Oh.
Wonder where she's headed.
Who do you think she only told Cersei?
That's the only person she had time to tell, because right after we see her, we see that the Wonder Twins are not activated. Jamie's got a hand. Jamie's got a new hand. And it's gold! Gold! I don't know, actually. Janie's got a gun. Hey!
I knew it. Aerosmith.
I know you knew it. I know you knew it. I'm speaking directly to you and your brethren.
I'm too niggard to know. So I know it.
Jamie's got a hand. Cersei spent the better part of an afternoon designing it, and it looks like it. Because this is completely impractical. You got a sword in one hand and a gold hand on the other.
How heavy is that thing?
Well, I was going to say, depending on how heavy it is, he could just use it as a hammer.
People with a hook would have been a better choice.
Oh, yeah.
Or perhaps make it out of silicone for Cersei's pleasure.
They could have.
They might not have had that back then.
What if they have it to where it's he can take it off and attach other things to it to where he could have like a sword one, a hook one.
Yo, this ain't a Ryobi weed eater. they just don't make attachments for them shits, you know.
Well, they should.
And a hook does not scream royalty at all. Like, that screams lowborn.
A golden hook with like rubies and diamonds and shit on the like hilt part.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about the Lannisters here. You think Tywin's gonna let his son walk around with a hook? No way.
Bro, they could have made his hand be a lion.
Now, Tywin would allow that. Tywin would have
that. Would have looked sick.
With his mouth open?
Yeah. That would have looked sick.
those sapphire fangs.
Anyway, we got this big stupid hand, and he's not happy about it, but...
I wouldn't be. That bitch is probably heavy as fuck.
Yeah, bro, he is heavy.
You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. Cersei thanks Qyburn for his help. She is definitely pregnant. This is a Moon Tea situation.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Lancel knocked her up. Yuck, how disgusting.
Right?
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, and she wouldn't let Pycelle touch her because he smells like a dead cat, but which I fully believe. However,
But
Pycelle.
then you let the guy that just got here touch you? Like Qyburn just got it. Well, never mind. Sorry. It's been weeks. But
But also, Pycelle would have told Tywin. Obviously, he couldn't handle this. This is a very sensitive situation. Never stopped drinking wine, though. Never, not once, girl. But this also makes a lot of sense with that conversation that she had with Tyrion weeks ago. So it's just Jaime's kids that she wants. It's only Jaime's children.
I don't know. Does she want him now?
I was gonna say,
It's too late now. He's been gone too long.
girl, I said just as kids. Like, you've given me what I need. Like, you can go now. But yeah, he waited too long. Completely your fault, too, buddy.
Yeah,
All on
right.
you. Take some accountability.
You're supposed to be good at fighting. I don't know why you got captured. And why didn't you escape sooner? You're supposed to be good at fighting, Jamie. Fuck.
He was fighting his feelings for Brienne. Because you know he couldn't be like, listen, I fought a bear to get back to you. Because why are you fighting a bear, Jamie?
Or you fought a bear for that bitch? You fought a bear for who?
But things are interrupted because here comes Sansa's maid, XOXO, Gossip Girl. Gee, I wonder what tea she spilled. Dun dun dun. Welcome to the north, where the wildlings are prepping for war.
Waiting to see that smoke.
Turns out Ygritte might have tanked that shot.
She still loves him.
You can't kill the man you love.
Can't you? Isn't it possible?
Nah.
Do you think?
Old boy thought so because he said that she shot a rabbit through the eye hole from however far away.
Yeah,
Yeah, Tormund knows she don't miss.
she doesn't miss. She didn't miss. And she obviously didn't miss on purpose, but she knows who Jon Snow is, and he's a liar. He told you there were 1,000 men at at Castle Black. Girl, please be serious. It's probably 20 if it's one.
Yeah. And there's maybe three there that actually know what they're doing.
And there's one there that ain't been there, and they left the damn plot hole.
We will get
We
there,
will get there
girl.
though.
I can't wait. Before we get there, we do have to meet the Fens. These seem like some nasty people.
Yeah, they actually do.
When I saw the things this time, you know what I was thinking? You know, Tormund looks very like menacing until you see that guy. And then it's like Tormund's like a teddy bear. Like he's not that intimidating anymore.
Yeah.
That dude makes him look small.
And then like the scar tissue tribal markings, like
Yeah. Yo, if I have ran some of them motherfuckers.
now here's my question to you, Ginge. When he started talking about the meat in the south and they threw that bag down that obviously had game in it, did you expect the game to be long pig, which is human flesh, supernatural?
I had a feeling.
From like when?
The way he looks.
Yeah, like they just gave that cannibal vibe. But like the way he was talking, where he was talking about how they were fat, the game down here is fat and lazy, and like I'm sitting here like he definitely talking about
Yo,
people.
they behind that on the behind that wall eating stew.
Yeah, they.
Now, does an arm seems like it would be a tough cut of meat though. Like, you don't eat like cow legs regularly. Like you, it just seems like it would be a tough cut of meat. Why are you cutting the toughest meat you could? I mean, I get it's to show
That's
up.
all that, that's what's left. Or maybe they saved in the good parts for the after they win this battle.
Okay.
That's the celebration parts.
Got you. Yep. That
Like
makes sense.
you don't pull out the T-bone steak unless you like grilling or something for a cookout or something, you know?
You're right. They're gonna win at Castle Black. They're gonna win at Castle Black, and then they're gonna fire up the Traeger.
Yeah. And boy, wait till they see Sam.
That's what the fire Mance is lighting is for.
Yo, wait till they see Sam.
Speaking of Sam, he's got some news to deliver to John about his brother. So sorry. He's deceased. And turns out John is Sam's Rob. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Just a brother for me to look up to, like a real,
Yeah.
real brother. And one thing John is better at than Rob's. Staying alive, clearly, because Rob is very dead.
True. But the phrase didn't miss on purpose. Oh. They put their arrows in the right spot, and then the old Roos finished the job.
It turns out that John's headed to be judged. That walkout, TJ, did you see a parallel with that? With the I've done plenty wrong, and then the shot of him leaving. Did that not remind you of another shot of him? Okay.
Will we get to
We will eventually
Yeah,
get.
I'll probably notice then.
Don't worry, I'll annotate these notes so I'll know to come.
Good
Ah.
job.
Anyway, speaking of coming back to stuff, Alistair Thorne's back, and he's got a new bestie. Ginge, okay, Ginge, have at it. Let loose.
I just where the fuck you been? Where the
Well, he
hand? What? Was it even a
left all
hand? I
that.
don't even remember anymore. Was it?
So
It was a hand, right?
here's my theory. So last time we saw this guy, he got exiled, right? The guy from City Watch.
Yes,
Janet.
We never saw
That's the dude.
him back at the wall, right? Until now.
Until now, correct.
So what happened was they saw each other halfway. And they became best of friends. And that's why this guy's sitting at the fucking head of the table now, too.
Like
That's what happened.
he's right. That's essentially what it was. It's like Alistair did get to King's Landing.
Don't even think he made it. I think that they saw each other halfway. And he was like, oh, we're going back? Oh, fuck it. I'll go back with you. Fuck it. I'm lonely on this trip anyway.
I mean, like to be fair, this is our first real time at Castle Black seeing anybody but Maester Aemon since season two.
Yeah, early season
So,
two.
like, yeah, like we haven't been back to Castle Black since the end of season one. So there's no telling how long they've been there. But yes, they left a gigantic plot hole because they sent him south with that hand, nothing happened, and now these two are best friends. Step
You know,
brothers.
that's two pieces of evidence of the White Walkers that everybody has ignored. The hand, and then the ravens that Aemon sent out talking about they've encountered them.
And the guy from the very first scene of the show.
And the
Everybody
outcast.
ignored him as well.
But like, because you see how they feel about this stuff, because when John mentions that Mance has giants fighting for him, Janos thinks that's the most hilarious thing he's ever heard until he looks at Alistair and he's like, oh, he's deadass. Okay.
Oh, there are giants up there. Okay.
100,000 men Mance has fighting for him.
And I think that the dude who is head of the King's Watch or City Watch or whatever he was is at that table because there's not many people left at Castle Black.
That know what the fuck they're doing. And it's debatable if he knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah,
Like John said, you must have been bad at your job if you're here.
I don't
Good for John.
I mean, That kind of mediocrity is always going to rise to the top. Like,
True.
look at the men around him.
Now, let me ask y'all. Here's another Tom thing. If I move to Mississippi, right, how long is it going to take me to get like that deep South accent?
You're old. You're likely not going to get it.
I was just saying. Like, I wonder how John was with the Wildlings to start talking like them.
Just the free folk. Like, he picked up words. You pick up words easy.
Like, his whole dialect's changed.
With the free folk.
I think it'd be at least a year.
It's been
you start though. You start picking up on like sayings and
not me. Stuff like not if I move to Mississippi. I'm judging all them country bumpkins down there. I ain't never gonna talk like them. I'd be judging. I'd be judging too hard to be.
And then 4 years later, you listen to yourself and you're like, man, I sound really Southern.
This is the issue. This is the issue. This is why people like in like Louisiana, Mississippi, be like, Virginia is not the South. We absolutely are the South. We think we're not like y'all, but we are as country as y'all are. Please don't do this.
It's funny you say that because when I was with the hurricane stuff, like a bunch of those guys were from Louisiana and they kept telling me how they are way more Southern than us.
They're like,
it's a prideful thing for them. Like, they're quick to tell you.
Dude, I keep hearing like, I will always hear from Louisianans like, Virginia is the East Coast. Girl, Maine to Florida is the East Coast. What do you mean?
Okay, so here, I'm with them though. I don't consider Virginia the South at all. Like, we're like in the middle.
It's below the Mason-Dixon line.
Thank you.
That's a made up line that white people came up with. All right
then. Whoa.
that's the slavery line.
Precisely.
Yeah, I'm free.
Let's talk about historical context. Virginia is definitely the South. Like, art just have a little more sense than they do further south than here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Fairfax is what saves us from being
anything. Fairfax North is
Fairfax and like Hampton. That's what saves us from being Florida. That's the only thing.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. We are y'all, and y'all are us. If you're from South, and like Virginia and North Carolina are the same country niggas. Please be safe.
Oh, John spilled all the tea. We didn't talk about John spilling the tea.
Right? Stop fucking crows. They spill all the details.
But here's the thing though. Imagine like getting all that information and still saying like, I don't believe this guy.
Like you were just saying how he was spent all this time in the Wildlings. He now talks like them and acts like them. You would think that he would be telling the truth because he would know. Yeah. He would have to be with them enough to know how to get all that stuff. So,
and not only that, he admitted to breaking his vow. So, like, at this point, what is he gonna lie about?
What did we say about Jamie? Hubris, just false confidence.
Yeah,
Alistair. We already know. Alistair thinks he knows better. We've seen it. He's that part about him hasn't changed. Now, where he's been for three seasons, that's up to you. But I will tell you, in the book, he made it there. This is just something that they completely left out of the show because they were like, "We're not gonna go back to this."
So much could have changed.
Like, they needed
that hand could have changed so much. If somebody would have just got it,
sent him. Well, no, it didn't change anything. He presented it to Tyrion, and Tyrion was like, "Yeah, no thanks."
Like, is this a wilding hand? Like,
brought me a hand, neat. But yeah, he went south with Cousin It and came back with Janna Slint. Here we are. And Janice already thinks he's running shit because, like, I ran the city watch. Do you know who my father is?
Nope.
Well, we can go have breakfast at Tiffany's in King's Landing. where Lady OG meets Brienne the Stallion.
Yo, imagine wedding planning with her. God damn.
Those
Yo,
necklaces.
what do you like?
Those necklaces were ugly. Every single one of them was atrocious. And the
I
fact
agree.
she just tossed some priceless gems just like off the hill. Who gives a shit? I'm rich.
Lord, that's money.
That's real fucking money. That's private suite. It's private suite money. That's on a NFL team money.
That's more than that.
But yes, we are a fortnight away from the new year because we are a fortnight away from this wedding. And Marjorie makes the comment about the necklace that Joffrey would give her. And she is told to watch it because the walls have ears. The bushes have ears. Everybody is listening to everything you say all the time. Be for real. And then,
Oh.
and like the way Elena is just stunned.
Amazed.
And I would be too. I would be too.
I feel like if I ever saw like Lisa Leslie or like Candace Parker in person, like I would look at them like she looked at them like, God damn.
Yeah. Just like, and somehow this skirt pant combo works.
It does not. Like let's just because it's Brienne, like we ain't got to do that. It does not.
It works.
That's like me saying the outfit that Kendrick had on in the Not Like Us video worked. Like the all white thing where the pockets were like up here. Like it didn't work. As much as I love Kendrick, you won't go see me buying that jacket.
But here's the thing is, you don't know fashion.
You're right, 'cause
Wearing
I
what?
wear t-shirts and sweatpants all the time.
There it is, girl. Leave the fashion girl, like leave the fashion to the fashion
Yo,
girly.
but let me just tell you, my sneakers are fresh always though. I always got on fresh sneakers.
Until he shows up in his Crocs.
I
You wear Crocs?
barely wear Crocs. Like I wear Crocs around the house. Have you ever seen me in Crocs anywhere? Outside the
Just in your
house?
house. No, just in
Yeah,
your house.
at the house. That's it.
Are they camo?
No, the Carolina Blue.
I was hoping they were camo. I was gonna be like,
I might have to, after this basketball season, though, I might have to get some rid of some of this Carolina Blue. Like, holy fuck. We suck.
they being
I'm
camo.
glad the Steelers
So turns out Renly was killed by a shadow with Stannis' face, and Brienne has to deliver that information to his widow.
You know, until this scene right here, I had totally forgot that Marjorie was with Renly. I was like, oh yeah.
Marjorie forgot she was with Friendly. I
Right.
wrote that down. Marjorie forgot Ridley.
First time I'm seeing this statue of Joffrey.
It is not the first time I've seen the statue of Joffrey. This is the worst statue of all the statues.
But
Yo,
it's
this is
actually a
worse
good
than that.
statue.
This is worse than that D Wade statue.
Boy, let me tell you something. The whole theme of this episode seems to be hubris, and here is where you really get it. It's this fucking statue.
Yeah, I love the fact that we go from the statue the way it is straight to him taking all the credit for everything.
Like, yes, like he's already like he's standing, like that's just how he naturally stands.
Yeah, like
Looking around this room that he's never been in before in his life, and talking about how he won wars, how he broke Stannis at the Blackwater. That
yeah.
was me, bitch. Where were you? I like Kingsguard.
Cap capture.
Right. I like Kingsguards who didn't get captured. That's what I like. Sounds familiar. Sounds like a tyrant to me.
Yeah.
But he gets right nasty with his Uncle Daddy.
Joffrey takes all the credit. Man. You know what? If I'm ever famous enough, right, and I decide to get me a bodyguard, the last thing I'm gonna do is shit on my bodyguard.
Yeah.
Like you kind of like are supposed to be there to protect me. Like the last thing I'm gonna do is tell you that, yeah, you suck. This is why quarterbacks always get their mom in really good gifts for Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great comp.
Yeah, this
But
is why quarterbacks.
He's like, but maybe it's just like, you know, I do have six more of you, and you're missing a hand, and you're old as hell. So what the fuck are you gonna do? And I talk to my grandfather any way I want to. I'll talk to you any way I want to, Uncle Daddy.
Uncle Daddy.
But like because Joffrey was already out of control. But like it's getting worse.
It is.
The level of disrespect and hubris is increasing.
Wait till he's married.
I was waiting for him to for Jamie to pull a Tyrion and smack the shit out of Joffrey.
Jamie ain't got it in him.
Now, Tywin would definitely save Jamie as well and
Yeah. But Tyrion got that fuck it in his system.
quickly.
Jamie ain't got it.
But this is where we see the Book of Brothers with the great deeds of all the Kingsguard, Sir Arthur Dayne, Sword of the Morning. Let's put a pin in him.
Let's do it.
Remember that name? Sir Duncan the Tall.
2026, right?
Let's go.
Or 2025? That's 2020. That's next year. We get that.
Yeah, next year. Is it
Yeah,
next
next
year?
year. Yeah.
Next year.
He's got a 4-page entry, probably written by Aaliyah.
But I tell you one thing, they better not spoil anything. I better not see no fucking spoilers for Duncan at all now that episode, that series is coming.
We don't hear anything else about them.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Since they fucked up House of the Dragon for us.
You get no. God. Anyway, Jamie's got like a paragraph or two. Probably one of those like really elementary paragraphs, like Jamie Lannister was a knight. He was a knight of the Kingsguard. He served King Aerys. He killed him. He served Robert Baratheon.
Jamie's page probably looks like when I wrote papers in college. Like I put the same sentence in there four different ways, just for filler.
And to be fair, a broken clock is right twice a day because Joffrey did clock Jamie. Like, what are you going to do? You're a 40-year-old knight with one hand. Do I look scared of you? I've got a crossbow and six other guards
I got a crossbow and a fucking statue holding my crossbow.
with
So really, I have two crossbows.
holding a crossbow while I'm standing on a dead wolf.
That I put the fucking bolts in.
I won this war, you bitch. Anyways, on the road to Meereen, we're marching to invade a city and you're picking flowers. Please be serious, sir. The headassery of Dario Naharis.
I thought it was kind of smooth.
It was very smooth. It worked. She took
And
the
then at that moment, I said, "I Jorah definitely killing that dude."
And then we get our gruesome mile markers.
And at this point is when I remembered when they took that last city. Before, when they were negotiating, the city was like, "We'll let you have our ships." All right, and then they took the city. So why ain't they already on some fucking ships? Why are they still walking?
She's got to liberate everything else. They're still like working their way through.
I thought she was trying to take the throne back.
No. Because every time I've asked, is she ready? Y'all shoot me down. So no, she ain't ready yet. She has more people to go get. 10,000 ain't enough.
163 miles on foot, but you got some
Ten
boats that you left
ten
at that
thousand ten
city.
thousand ain't enough. Y'all just told me that. 10,000 not enough.
I don't think she's going to a city she could sail to. But then again,
We ain't ready to be on the boats.
does it? She's liberating people.
She's doing her Million Man March, all right?
She's liberating people that have nothing to do with the other side of the sea. That's gonna.
Ham.
But James, you're a man of morals. If you knew there was some slavery going on, you'd do the same thing.
Ham.
I hope.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess we could go back to King's Landing. Are you sure you're not a Lannister? Because you get on my nerves and I kind of want to fuck you.
James, is she talking to you?
I'm Jamie talking to Brienne. Thank you. Anyway, this is cute. Like, what are we going to do? You made an oath. You said you were going to do something. I'm supposed to kidnap my sister-in-law.
Jamie's got a point here.
Jamie did make excellent points. Like,
she's a Lannister. Where's she going to go?
Brienne also made a good point. Do you really think she's safe here?
No, but again, this is where men's silence is a good thing. Because Brienne, that was a dumbass question. Where's she going to go?
I'm sorry. Where is she going to go? However, he wasn't silent. That's when he said, are you sure we're not related? Obviously, because I want to fuck you, and I've never wanted to fuck anyone that I'm not related to. And it turns out Sansa is in danger. Somebody's chasing her. Oh, no. It's Ser Dantos.
A guy that is another Ser Hugh.
You did not remember the night that she saved in the season one in season two premiere.
So I watched this episode twice, which I normally do. I watch the episode for like enjoyment and then watch the episode for a deep dive into it. And the first time I watched it, I skipped the recap and I skipped the opening credits. And then I got to the guy and I'm like, who even is this guy? And even when Sansa said something, like it didn't register in my head. The second time I watched it, I watched the recap and I was like, oh, that guy.
We've seen him one other time. He was juggling during the siege. He was juggling for the women. That's the only other time we've seen him.
I don't even remember that.
Do we think they just were like, what's the most random pull we can do?
No. I'll have more to say about, I will definitely have more to say about Ser Dantos.
Later. Show related, book related.
Book related.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like we don't read books. We don't read.
Exactly.
So this is like a random pool.
I'll have more to say. But yeah, he gives her a necklace. Margie's looking at necklaces. Here's a necklace for you, Sansa. Looks real pretty. Probably he looks like he got it at Claire's, but I'm not gonna say that. You're sweet for being polite.
No, this is grandma's necklace. That was my grandmama gave me that chain.
She might melt it down. Maybe she'll melt it down.
She better not.
And then wear it.
Hopefully Debo don't take it.
Guess what? We get a lovely reunion in the Riverlands.
Yeah, we do.
Dead bodies everywhere. One of my favorite Korn songs.
Did we get a little symbolism there with the dead bodies? Because did that girl not look just like Arya?
It did kind of look like her.
Okay. And you know what? I'll file that away. Annotate that, TJ.
Oh, yeah. Let me get my little annotated book thing. Is there like a special pen for that? Like, what do you got to do? Teach me how to annotate. Show me real quick.
Master's degree.
It ain't an annotating. I got an MBA. The A is not for annotate.
Anyway, Arya's being real nasty and real rude. Like, she, like, her message has not changed, but her tone and delivery have definitely changed. I have a theory about that. It does have to do with her becoming a woman. But.
Or just seeing your brother with his, wearing his wolf's head.
Yes, also, but.
That too.
Her sister got hers 2 seasons ago, and she's 2 years younger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's. I knew where you were getting that.
That's always been, like, my thing is, like, but then now on this rewatch, I get why we don't know anything about Arya's period. Because, like, that shit's for girls.
We're gonna have a conversation in about 12 years or so. I'll need some help.
Oh man, I see it quickly approaching here, and I don't like it. It's gonna be rough in my house. But turns out, where are they headed? To her Aunt Lysa with a
Yo,
Y.
the hound is, that man is on top of his shit.
I'm gonna get this fucking
This
bike.
man had an A, B, and a C plan. Like, he was ready.
But isn't the Veil basically another Lannister place? Because they sent the girl to marry her son, right?
No, the Veil
well,
is
little.
That's where
Littlefinger's going.
Going. Okay, yeah.
I couldn't remember. Well, I knew somebody was going somewhere.
And he's what? A fair weather guy. Like, he roots for the best team every year.
Yeah, but see, he already, well, we don't know if he suspected that was Arya, but he definitely gonna know now. And then, like, if he go, like, I feel like Arya gonna be in a bad position.
Maybe.
Okay.
But again, Littlefinger's a fair weather guy. He might just take Arya in. The Littlefinger, like in the Super Bowl last year, was rooting for both the Chiefs and the 49ers. Just so he can say that his team won.
And let's not forget, he did have two feather beds. Dose of them. Anyways, hey, I know that bald bitch. I've seen him before. He stole my fucking sword. He killed my friend. My sword Needle, by the way, because lots of people name their swords. Lots of people do.
Bitches named their swords according to the helm. The helm was not impressed. Yeah. Of course you named your sword.
Let's get back to the other Stark family motto, quick tempers, slow minds, because Arya's just like, I want my shit back and I'm going to get it. But we go in and immediately find out Arya's about that life, because when Polliver approaches and she reaches for the hound's sword, like, sis, what are you going to do with that?
She probably can't even pick up that sword.
Like,
that bitch is heavy.
Adrenaline, though, you never know when your adrenaline's going. You can lift a car.
That is true. I know a dude who got in a car accident and the steering wheel was like, got pushed into his chest, and he pushed that sucker back out. And it wasn't like one of these new cars, you know, that's made of plastic. Like, it was like an 80s car that was straight metal, and he just pushed it, the steering wheel dashboard, like right back.
Damn.
Adrenaline. See? You think that kind of adrenaline, you're going to hear a sword hit a rock? Come on. Now,
yeah, but that was a grown man, and she's a little girl.
But she is about that life, and Polliver's bragging about reaving and raping, and he has a very disgusting, like, monologue in the book, and I just hate Polliver so much.
Yep, I put in here is another scene where I find myself saying men are disgusting.
Yeah. Polliver's the worst.
Oh my God. Anyway, fuck the king. Fuck the king. And like, once he says that, Arya's like, oh, bitch, we're gonna fight. I'm so excited. My first barroom brawl. Oh boy.
Now, speaking of like where they're at, though, have we seen this inn before?
It's in the Riverlands, but I don't think we've seen.
Yeah, I don't think we've been here.
Because I wrote down, is this the one where Catelyn captured Tyrion in?
No.
Okay. Because they're on their way to the Vale. Like, it could have been a thing.
Yeah. Well, because then they had. Well, you're right. Because then they had to change course, but I don't think it's the same one. Anyway, the Hound stops yet another assault. And Arya's fucking killer. Push her. Please.
Yeah, she is.
Please do.
Definitely on her villain arc.
Hey, listen. She hasn't killed anyone who didn't deserve death.
She's on her vigilante arc.
There it is. She's Batman. She's Batman. A rich orphan.
God, he's about to throw some comic book shit at
I would
us. I can see
say
it in his
that
face.
Batman don't kill nobody, but if you watch Zack Snyder's Batman, he does kill people.
Anyway, guess what? I got a sword. I got a horse. Like, this is the Wild West. And we get a shot of the raised Riverlands. Tywin told the mountain to raise the Riverlands, and he absolutely did exactly that. It looks bad.
It does look
It
bad.
did, yeah. You would have thought the dragons had been there.
Ooh. Perhaps a little bit of foreshadowing. A little foreshadowing. Look at you, Jinj.
Where do you think the mountain is at this point, James?
That's a good question. I would assume he'd be pretty close to where they're at
Right, because his men
if
are there.
the dude just said we're with the mountain. So he ought to be somewhere near.
Because we ain't seen him in King's Landing. And he ain't there. I wonder where he's at.
Well, the Hound gonna run into him on the way to the Vale.
And
That's
I wasn't
when
asking that question for meaning. Yeah, I'm sincerely wondering
they're
where he's
gonna
at.
fight, and that's when the Hound gonna kill him, like I said.
The Vale.
Well, or on the way.
All right, so here's another question for you. Another thing that you can predict. Do they even make it to the Vale? Or
Oh.
is the Hound gonna have to go to plan D?
Yeah, I
See?
don't think they're gonna make it to the Vale.
You said what for?
I was like, oh, I just said plan C.
Oh, yeah. Now
Yeah,
this would be this is plan C. That would be plan D.
No, I don't think they'll make it to the Vale.
Well, I guess we'll find out because we did not find out here on Game of Thrones season 4, episode 1. TJ, who are we pouring out for?
Think Polliver's it?
Fuck
Do
Polliver.
we pour one out for Polliver?
We don't fuck Polliver.
We're eating all his chicken though.
Hell
So
yeah.
fuck him.
That chicken looks boiled.
Yeah, we will. We will eat that boiled chicken. I
All right.
think that's it. That's all I got. That's the only person I got.
I mean, all the other people
We
he was
should pour one out for the sword.
talking
Pour
Yeah,
one out for ice.
we will. We will pour one out for ice. We'll pour out two new
Yeah, for ice.
for ice.
Ice poured one out for itself.
Yeah.
All right, well, now for the quote segment, stick it with the pointy end, which Arya absolutely did this week. Who wants to go first?
I can go first. Only have three of them. Yeah, three. I got three. So my first one comes from Oberyn, and he says, "If the mountain killed my sister, your father gave the order." My next one is from Jorah, where he says, "The dragons, Khaleesi, they can never be tamed." And then my last one is from Arya, "Fine little blade, maybe I'll pick my teeth with it." Because I said that one before, so I might as well repeat the one I've said before.
Absolutely. Jinji, you want to go next?
Yeah. I got like five.
I didn't steal any.
No. My first one is from Tywin. A one-handed man with no family needs all the help he can get. And then the next one is from Bronn when he's talking to Tyrion. When Tyrion asks him, when he comes to the city after that, would you be with all the girls or something do with the whores? And he goes, I'd probably go to sleep, but I'm getting old.
Yeah. I almost used that. I was like, nah.
then this one's from Pedro. Lannisters aren't the only one who pay their debts. And then from Aemon, if we beheaded every ranger who lay with a girl, the wall would be managed by headless men.
That's
And
a way to call them
then,
out on their bullshit.
right? And then the last one we actually, Lauren actually did mention earlier, and it's "fuck the king" from the Hound.
Not the
Yeah.
first time he said it.
Fuck the king. Well, I have a million, so I'm not gonna do them all. But Tywin, when he was talking about Casterly Rock and like his legacy, I don't expect to see the rock again before I die. Dario, I'd rather have no brain and two balls, and that's what a lot of y'all are working with, and that's the problem. That's right there.
Go Dario.
Sansa, I don't pray anymore. It's the only place I can go where people don't talk to me. TJ, this one's just for you. My lion. When he walks in the door and she says, "My lion."
That is definitely for me. That's why I asked you the question I asked you. Do we think the girl snitched and told somebody else?
No. And then Cersei, and now I'm marrying my eldest son to a wicked little bitch from Highgarden while I'm supposed to marry her brother, a renowned pillow biter. And and then
She outed, she out, she outed him as a bottom.
of course I mean, we've already seen that. But then of course Marjorie, perhaps I should just let Joffrey choose it for me, end up with a string of dead sparrow heads around my neck.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
She knows him.
There it is. All right, Ginge. Blind rank.
Blind rankings. I have a prediction where this is gonna be. I'll let you know if I'm right or not.
I gotta remember what I put. I gave it an 8. Or I put it at 8.
That 8? Okay.
Okay,
Yeah, I
that's
think.
one higher than I thought you were gonna go. I thought you were gonna go
I was
at 9.
struggling. I was struggling with 8 or 9.
All right. 301, two swords. Number 8.
401.
401. Oh my God. I can't believe we're on the fourth season of this show that once again I sent you the name of as an LOL. But that's going to do it for this episode of Charges to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. Don't forget to rate and review us wherever you're listening. You can follow me at Lauren Lovegood, Goode, everywhere. So on behalf of Gingy, who seems to really be into this Lions game, and DJ, I am Lauren Lovegood, and we will see you next time. And now our watch is ended.